Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, John Auville, and Eric Bickle. That is the foursome. 7 o'clock. That means it's time to hit the skins. Talk some training camp. Our training camp coverage presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice.
All right, guys. We talked about it in the first hour. Everybody will be talking about it today and until this thing gets resolved. But Terry McLaurin was back, kind of. He ended his holdout and turned it, I guess, officially into a hold-in. They placed him on the physically unable to perform list, also known as the PUP list, with an ankle issue. Kind of murky. They say it was something that happened to him late last season, but kind of an excuse to stash him while they try to work things out. He looked like he was happy. The fans gave an unbelievable cheering, et cetera, when he showed up. I guess he showed up after practice or kind of the end of practice. And he seemed like he was in a good mood.
Heroes welcome.
I think he signed for maybe 20 minutes or so. He gave the press a minute or two. We talked about how it was great to be back, but they're still working out the business side of it. Of course, he's 29. He's in the final year of a 3-year, $68.3 million deal that currently places him 17th among wide receivers. He's looking for a bigger deal here in his third contract. It's important to hold in versus hold out. Everybody knows at this point that when you hold out, it's $50,000 a day. It's written into the new collective bargaining agreement. He missed 4 days, so that cost him $200,000. But beyond that, this holdout is sort of expensive for Terry. He missed $500,000 for not earning his workout bonus.
Wow.
That hurts.
$200,000 for missing 4 days of training camp. And then he accrued $104,000 in fines for missing 3 days of minicamp. So far, Terry trying to angle for this new contract cost him almost $1 million.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So
I get salty when I get a speeding ticket that's over $100.
Yeah.
Speaking of fines, and those are way more substantial. He's earning a lot,
but like
more
you
than
said,
are,
it's good to finally see him.
It's good to see him. At the camp. He looks like he's in great shape. He's in good spirits.
One thing that I noticed is the team doesn't seem resentful at all. You know what I mean? Like sometimes a guy holding out,
might be, but not
you're
the
practicing. I'm saying the fellow players.
No, they understand.
They're
no,
completely on his side.
Yes. Because they're all going to go through the same thing too at some point in their careers. I mean, the ones that are on like Terry McLaurin's level, those guys are going to sign big deals. They're going to have hold-ins or hold-outs. They're going to have battles with front offices.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised that half of our audience sided with the front office.
Yeah.
Well, when we did the poll, it was pretty split because
I'm still surprised
Terry, the angle was that Terry's under contract, right. And he is under contract.
Yeah. Of course, Terry last year caught 82 passes for almost 1,100 yards. He had a franchise record, 13 touchdowns. But his 30th birthday is September 15th. Of the 16 wide receivers making more per year, only two signed those contracts when they were older than 27. Can you name those two players?
Tyreek Hill is one.
Yep.
Ooh.
Who else is old?
Older than 27.
That are making how much money again?
They're making more than Terry. So there's 16 guys.
Not Mike Evans.
One won't come to mind. Calvin Ridley.
Okay.
Calvin Ridley.
All right. In Tennessee.
Contract.
All right.
Hey, is Amari Cooper a free agent?
He's just floating out there, still, as far as I know.
Still out there.
He must be like super washed if nobody's signing him, or his asking price must just be too high, or a combination of the two.
I mean, you go out and play, it's got to be a certain amount at that point in your career to take that beating, to take another year of that beating.
But his production
body
took a nosedive when he went to Buffalo.
Right.
Yeah.
Like his numbers took a serious downturn.
It did.
One thing that
I would think that someone would reach out to
maybe, him. Maybe, especially if there's an injury in camp.
One thing that I have noticed, there are a couple insights that people been giving us, if you follow along with what's going on in training camp, is that the offense has struggled a little bit last couple days. I think there was even one day where maybe Jaden had several interceptions. Mm-hmm. The defense certainly getting the better of it. Ja'Cory Brooks is making some plays, so that for the people that are in that Ja'Cory Brooks, watch out for him camp. He's giving you a little something. But Jalen Lane, they say, had the catch of camp so far.
Saw that corner of the end zone.
Yeah. He went up and just
had like three guys draped on him.
He grabbed it. Yeah, two guys in front of him, and he just came down with the ball behind him, was able to get his feet down in the back of the end zone. It was pretty. It was a nice play.
Yeah, and I saw that Jaden was fired up afterwards. In fact, I think that was a practice where the defense did get sort of the better of them offensively, but Keim noted that they ended on a positive note there and the guys were fired up. So
I'd love to hear from some people who were there. If you went to Commanders training camp yesterday, 1-800-636-1067, because, you know, Josh Harris, when he took over, they put in the bleachers for training camp, and they were packed.
Oh yeah.
And we saw, you know, the different people tweeting pictures, whether it was the fans lining up or our pal Chris Russell with the cars in front of him in traffic. I'd love to hear from some people who were there, because it was hot. But whether you had a good time out at training camp.
If anybody jumps at it. Now it's hard because the guys, they're not even in pads yet.
But and what it was like when you finally saw Terry, like the roar of the crowd.
Steve Weiss was there. We mentioned that ESPN was there for practice. The NFL Network was there. Steve Weiss said, who has been the talk of camp so far, Cakes?
Who's been the talk of camp? Steve Weiss. I saw a little bit of his hit, too.
I'm going to guess it's Trey Amos.
Trey Amos.
Oh.
He said Trey Amos has been the talk of camp defensively. So that's good. That's a good sign. I keep hearing great things about Trey Amos, too. Sanistrel, by all accounts, is having a great camp so far, making plays. I think he even had what could technically be a pick six in an area where they're not tackling. But he jumped up, made an interception, and took it back to the house.
It's encouraging if the secondary gets even stronger.
No, I do think they're going to be markedly better than last year. And if Lattimore can improve at all off of last year,
have we heard anything about him?
I haven't heard much.
Yeah.
Positive or negative.
I heard some good things about the mini camp, but I haven't heard anything since training camp started.
Yeah. So I can't give you much there. But Trey Amos is doing great. Oh, I keep hearing that Iguanonabe is playing well. Now, of course, it's kind of in that substitution role, right? Nickel role, whatever it is. And he's playing against more against backups.
Yes, yeah, such a hard name. Igbenagane, I think.
I think so.
No, it's just the easy way to identify him.
Yeah. I've heard that Wiley and Connerly are still kind of alternating reps. It may take Connerly a little longer than maybe some anticipate to get in there and be the established guy, still learning. And of course, if you have to start with Wiley, I guess it's not the worst thing. He's an experienced guy. I haven't heard anything on Tunsil. So I'm just assuming he's just a rock there. Yeah.
I heard somebody said he was just man. I think it might have been Doc Walker said he was manhandling. Just manhandling dudes one of the practices.
Which makes sense, right?
Yeah, I mean
he's huge.
As a pro bowler.
Yeah. I know Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt has been turning some heads. I think Russell's going crazy about him, right? Didn't we have Russell on the show last week? And he's been talking him up. So some people have been mentioning him when you look at some of the updates from camp.
Krosky-Merritt, nicknamed Bill.
Right.
That's Bill.
Let's go to Z. Z was at camp yesterday. Let's get his report. Z, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
What's going on, guys? Thank you for having me. How y'all doing?
Yeah,
what's
man. We're doing great.
What was it like?
Oh, the atmosphere was great. Having the fans back out, pretty much this year, we kind of going in with anticipation to, you know, do great things. So the atmosphere was right. The offense did struggle a little bit, like you guys mentioned, but towards the end of practice, they did pick it up with the 2-minute drill again with Jalen Lane and his catch, and then is it Strakem? They caught the catch at the end, So the atmosphere was definitely up during that period. But the D-backs, man, they look strong. Amos, Lattimore, and Mikey, they look real strong out there. And that one-handed interception that Mikey Cook picked off would have been a pick six. So
right.
Z, what was it like when Terry showed up?
Oh, man. So the alert, we got the alert on the way there that Terry was going to be there. So,
oh, you did?
You know, we're podcasters, so I was definitely – you know, putting the news out on our page as well. So when we got there, I'm kind of like anticipating, hopefully he kind of came out early, but he came out towards the end, and it was definitely heartfelt to kind of see him back in the mix with the guys, just mingling and talking and just being there. But most importantly, like he spoke about yesterday, with the fans, just, you know, being amongst the fans, being able to show the love, because outside of the business part of it, you know, you definitely got to remember, you know, where the love and everything comes from. So It was definitely heartfelt from my end, and it was great to see. I'm hoping that today or, you know, maybe tomorrow, something that works out this week where he can get that deal done so he can get out there with the guys.
Did you notice anything physically with Jaden? Did Jaden look a little thicker? Did it look a little meatier? You know what I mean? Or had all these reports that he gotten a little bigger in the offseason? Could you notice that, or he looked like the same guy to you?
Nah, I definitely noticed it. He definitely got buffer in the arms. So you can tell he's been in the weight room and put on some weight. He looks good.
He's wearing two different colored shoes.
Yeah, the Kobe's, the Kobe cleats.
Oh, is that what it is?
Come on, EB. You don't know that? The Kobe cleats? Come
hey,
on.
Hey,
I didn't know that.
Hey,
I didn't either.
Hey, how did Von Miller and Kinlaw look? Those guys, the new guys on defensive
Man,
line.
Kinlaw is huge. I didn't really get to see much of Von Miller. I was looking around, but I saw him more so like towards the end of the practice. But, you know, definitely, definitely Swift, definitely doing his thing. And what I did see that with Connolly, like you guys mentioned, with Cat Wiley and Connolly was rotating. So they're definitely trying to get them reps in together to kind of figure out who's going to, play that other tackle. But overall, man, Kinlaw, I think Kinlaw is going to be a problem as well.
Mm-hmm. Are you going out to any other practices?
Yes, I'm actually headed out there now.
Oh, nice. Right. Oh, cool.
Nice. This guy, right. Hardcore.
Wait, listen, dude, you're welcome to call us with any updates if anything jumps out at you.
Will do. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah. All right, appreciate
Thanks for
you.
The call.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, take care.
Yeah, you too, bud. I think I see...
All positive.
My man, he does a podcast, Reedy and Z. I'm just looking up online.
Nice.
Big diehard Commanders guy. They mentioned Santana. Santana's going to be recognized, okay?
Fantastic.
That's awesome.
Well deserved.
Everybody has great memories, fond memories of Santana in some less than ideal circumstances.
Cowboy killer.
Certainly. Was he the one that Brunell threw the two touchdowns to?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I'll never
Monday
forget that
football.
Game. Monday night. Everybody was about ready to go to bed.
Everybody thought that's a big winner for the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. No.
Yep. The back-to-back touchdown throws there late in the game to seal that. Was that like a 14-13 victory? I think it was. It was something like that. But Santana, just a great player here, great tenure. You know,
great team guy.
Yeah, just everything you want. And he's been here in the community and commenting and working around this team ever since he retired. I can't think of a better guy. Right, to be inducted.
And another good move by the front office and the ownership to recognize, you know, a guy that should be recognized in Santana Moss.
Right, right.
What was his last year? Was it 2013?
You'd have to look it up.
12, 15,
Jason,
13 years ago?
You'd have to look it up.
I got
to
look it up. I will. 2014. All right, so the 2013-14 season.
But that's basically it. We talked about Jalen Lane. He's been impressing people. Ja'Cory Brooks. Oh, Gallup supposedly has made some plays. They might have some decisions there. I know Kime did mention that Brooks is going to have a hard time making the active roster. They do have, you know, they may not have, you know, the top two or three receivers in the game type thing, you know, like Cincinnati, something like that, but they do have some depth there. So, you know, look for some of these guys maybe to stick around on the practice squad. We will see. But it's early, and I think, you know, knock on wood, we haven't had any catastrophic injuries yet, right?
Not yet.
No.
Not yet.
Let's hope that's the case.
Yeah, so hopefully.
Get everybody healthy till week one.
When do they put the pads on?
Today.
Today's the first day with pads.
Yep.
All right, so today
old team's doing okay, EB.
Yeah. Not
that's going to be
Are we officially
a topic.
The oldest team? Are we officially the
long.
Oldest team? We're right up there.
I think heading into training camp.
I thought
so
it was the oldest
veterans.
Roster.
Yeah.
Average age.
Yeah, when you add guys like Von Miller.
I mean, that shoots up your number. He's 36.
Yeah.
But you got to see who makes the final roster. Because I saw somebody counter it. Is Josh Johnson still on the roster right now?
Yeah, I doubt he makes the final.
But some guys are going to be cut.
Yeah.
So you cut some of those
like
old farts.
Like a guy like Michael Gallup, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you slide down a little bit.
No surprise, the Commanders are at the top at 27 and a half years following them because they have an old-ass quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, the Steelers.
Steelers are right
26.8.
there too. Yeah.
I mean, if you have a 41-year-old on your roster, that's going to alter things.
Well, they've also had a lot of guys who've been there forever.
Right.
Watt, Hayward. Mm-hmm. They seem like they've got a lot of veterans.
Yeah. So it was interesting to see his reaction to the Terry Bradshaw comments yesterday.
He was pretty magnanimous about it. And that he, you know, he's always idolized kind of Terry, but that Terry doesn't really know him, but he'd love to sit down with Terry, and he thinks that they'd get along. So who knows?
I wonder if that's the truth.
I don't know.
He was just trying to sound nice.
I don't know. By the way, Mitch Tisler always does a bit where he tracks first one on the field every day.
Yeah.
Valdez, your boy, Cole Turner, two out of 4 days, been the first one on the field.
Very good.
Needs to make a good impression.
Got to make a good impression.
Wants to make that roster.
Yeah, good for him.
He's just a good dude, man.
Good for him. Yeah.
Phone number you want to get in touch with us if you're out at training camp, 1-800-636-1067. That's the same number for our text line. Presented by Lido Pizza, a local favorite since 1955. They serve pizza, subs, jumbo wings, and salads. Lido Pizza Square, because Lido Pizza never cuts corners. For locations or to place your order, go to LidoPizza.com. You can text us at 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. We're the Junkies, coming right back. All right, so the Major League Baseball trade deadline's coming up. The Nationals have had an abysmal season. Davey Martinez fired. Mike Rizzo fired. Team hasn't exactly taken off since their, I want to say, 22 games under 500. You can check that. But they're just having a terrible year. So the trade deadline's coming up. And once again, everybody's kind of saying, well, they're going to be sellers. They're sellers all the time. Now,
definitely sellers.
DeBartolo said that they would maybe be different, but we're going to see. Here's the question, and I put this up as our Junkies poll of the day, brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka. They're the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can only 100 calories with zero carbonation for easy sipping. You can find Surfside at your local bars and in convenient variety, 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Should they trade Mackenzie Gore? Their frontline pitcher, his record's not great because he's on the Nationals. His ERA right now, 3.52. He's got 144 strikeouts on the year. That is seventh in the National League.
And only 117 innings.
Yeah.
And his whip is a 1.27. That's 41st. But we've seen at times he's been really good. Month of May, he was really good. Should they trade him?
I'm starting to come around on it. Let's just do it. I mean, they're not as close as I thought they were a couple months ago when they were like hovering around 500 before they kind of fired everybody. I thought, okay, I see what they're building towards. Now it just feels like they're really far away. Let's just do it. Just move them.
Yeah, if you're going to get
I'm actually pro trading.
If you know you're not going to keep them after 27, so 2028 is his free agent year. If you know for a fact there's no chance you're going to give Scott Boras a huge deal with his clients, Mackenzie Gore, then yes.
And you know...
Now, you're probably not going to get back equal value.
True.
You're just not.
But you get something back. I'd rather have something back than nothing.
Well, you're just going to get a lot more now than you will next year. And I just think they're further away than I had hoped. So I think I would trade
There's somehow they're going to spend some money in the offseason, add a couple of nice free agents, and there'll be a better roster next year. And then you would need a legit number one pitcher. Now, odds are that's not going to happen because we know how the learners are. The Lerner family, anyway.
I mean,
but if you know for a fact you're not going to keep them in two more years,
when you say spend more money, how much money are we talking about? Because we know that the current payroll of guys that are currently on the
roster is right around
$60 million.
All right, $120 million is not a lot of money for
it's
a payroll.
It's not. Yeah. But like, do you expect them to double their payroll?
No, but that's what I'm saying. We don't know what's going through Lerner's head. If Lerner's saying, you know what, I'm going to go out and get two or three nice free agents next year. DeBartolo is going to be our GM. Who knows who the manager is going to be, but I'm tired of finishing last and having a payroll in the bottom five. But I would agree. It's probably not going to happen.
I just don't think those conversations are happening.
You're probably right. And if it's not happening, trade them.
Right.
So
are you going to trade C.J. Abrams when his deal's up?
No.
Are you going to trade James Wood if you still own the team in four years?
Possibly, yes.
I'm not trading any of those
all
guys.
All of these things are possible.
I'm not trading McKenzie
Gore. And I would say probable. They're probable.
If Lerner still owns the team in 4 years,
right.
It's going to be a disastrous four-year run.
If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. Do you think they should trade McKenzie Gore? ESPN put out a list of the most likely trade candidates heading into the Major League Baseball trade deadline. He's number three. 1-800-636-1067. I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name, if it's DiBartolo or DiBartolo. I'm going to go with DiBartolo now. Here's what he said when he took over. He said, I'm looking to keep the young core group of our best players together. Certainly with my job, if someone calls, you always have to listen to what they have to say. But trading away a really high-quality young player is not something I'm looking to do right now. I hope he's a man of his word. Because at some point, you got to keep your guys. Mm. Or it's just going to be a never-ending cycle. EB's liking them to the Pirates. I agree. It'll be a never-ending cycle of constantly developing players, and then after a couple of years, trading them away, and it's starting over.
Well, he probably...
It's a constant start over.
He says he's listening. He's probably not liking what he's hearing from other teams.
Right, doesn't like the returns
because
he's hearing.
Because a lot of these teams, unless they're really, really loaded in their farm system, they don't want to give up their top prospects, even for a pitcher like Gore. They want to try and get something for nothing. So maybe he's listening, but he's not liking what he's hearing. That's why he's saying... we want to keep our young guys together.
All right, so you're GM, you trade him. I'm GM, I would not trade him. Cakes?
Pro trade.
You're trading him, Jason?
I mean, I got to know what I'm getting back. Am I getting a great haul?
Yeah, the trade has to be...
I mean, I got
to
know what I'm getting back before I trade him.
I can't get fleeced on the trade, but I would be pro trading.
They traded Rosario. I'm Ed Rosario to the Yankees. Now, yeah. Rosario's not on the level of Gore, okay? They got an 18-year-old and another kid who apparently can't throw strikes.
So, that's a problem. That's
so they got
check.
Two average to below average prospects. Now it's Rosario, okay? I get it. You're not going to get top prospects for him. He's going to platoon at third base with Ron McMahon probably. But McKenzie Gore should get something, especially with 2 years left on his deal. If you're going to give me a nice haul and I'm going to get guys, and these guys study all the prospects. If you're going to give me something nice, sure. Because I know for a fact Scott Boris isn't going to resign here in 2 years.
I don't know that for a fact.
He ain't.
Well,
come
at
on.
A minimum, he's going to go test the market.
He ain't
that
here.
Much you do know.
At some point, don't you have to keep your best players? Yeah, does Johnny Cakesaville as GM keep your best players?
But sometimes it's out of your control.
I'm just wondering, when do you keep your best players?
If I have ownership that comes to me and tells me we're only spending $80 million on the roster, I'm always going to be churning the roster.
Here's what they might start spending. So Scherzer's $15 million a year goes through 2028. Okay. Strauss's $35 million goes through 2026. So in all likelihood, they're not going to spend much money the next year or two. Okay. Because that's $40 million next year for guys that aren't even here. Right. Can you imagine them spending, on top of that? Right now, while they're losing, I doubt it.
No.
My guess is, on some level, they're waiting for that money to go away before they strongly consider repaying these new guys and adding.
Yeah, you might be right.
If
you wanted to keep McKenzie Gore, keep your young core, well, you'd have to sign him now to a deal he can't pass up. And they're not going to do that.
I just don't think it's going to work on the timeline.
I'm tired of people crying poverty for this franchise and the ownership. It's getting tiresome at this point.
Yeah.
Like for years, this is billed as these are the richest owners in all of baseball, but they're treating this team like it's a convenience store, a rundown convenience store on the corner. Like at some point, you have to either spend money on your investment, or you have to sell your investment to somebody that will spend money on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like there's infighting between the family members as far as trying to sell the team, and they can't come up with a number that satisfies everybody. I just feel like we're on a hamster wheel here with the inability to spend money on the roster.
Third worst record in baseball right now.
If they trade Gore, I won't be distraught. Because it makes
you don't have the emotional attachment.
Well, also in the timeline of like when they could potentially start adding, like in really, if they trade and they move on from Wood, that's going to be really bad. That's going to be really bad.
Yeah, I mean, that would be four years down the road.
Yeah, but it would have to be maybe a year or two before that if you want to get any haul. Like, if they trade Wood because they're just not going to get anything in return, they don't see a future, that's when you just give up hope. There's no sense.
Yeah.
Gore, I mean, look, can kind of make sense of it.
They put the percentage of the trade happening before Thursday at 10%, and maybe that's because of DeBartolo's comments that he wants to keep his core guys together. Who knows? It's not 90% like some of these other guys. But if he was traded, Nats fans will just say to themselves, well, that's typical. We're trading away our young studs again.
Well, I'm okay with them trading Gore, actually, because, I don't think they're going
to... It's hard to come up with legit number one pitchers.
No, they're not going to get that in return.
I mean...
But maybe they can get two or three pretty
But I'm saying for
guys.
Next year. So if you don't have Gore next year, all right, you got to go out. You're not going to go out and get a number one pitcher.
Well, you have JoJo Gray coming back.
Yeah, but Gore's better than him. And he's coming off injury. There'd be a lot of question marks.
If I were Gore, I would be renting, not buying here in the D.C. area. Mm-hmm. I would have a rental. I'd have a nice rental, but I would be renting.
Yeah,
would not be buying. I would not be putting down stakes here.
All right, 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. I'm just wondering if the learners recognize where they stand sort of as far as like fan perception of them right now.
Oh, they have to know.
Do they realize?
Their heads are just completely buried in the sand. They have to know.
They're sort of enemy number one right now.
Yeah, they've replaced Dan Snyder.
Unless they live in the most insulated world that you could live in, they have to know that fan frustration is boiling over.
Have there been any official protests yet?
Official protests? Not that I know of.
Honestly, I wonder if something like that might be...
Fans picketing outside of the stadium?
Yeah.
Type of protest? Not that I know of.
Something like that.
I don't...
Like sell the team? How many times have we had Dan sell the team t-shirts or sell the team chants?
Countless times.
I mean, it might be at that point now.
Maybe the fans just don't care enough.
I think that's what's about to happen. Like, I think apathy is setting in with the fan base.
They don't want to waste their time.
Which is the worst thing that can happen to your fan base, is apathy. At least if there were protests and movements, like, then there's still passion about the team.
I think there's a passionate minority. There's 10 or 20,000 people that are still like really, really upset.
It's a number that just is dwindling.
Yeah.
What's crazy is their attendance figures have actually gone up this year.
Right.
Slightly, but up. They're right around 25,000, which is 21st in the league.
I recommend some sell the team t-shirts, some sell the team protests.
Okay.
So I think one of the big problems is
when you won't lead the protest.
I'm not going to lead anything, but I'm just saying.
Get out there with your picket sign.
One of the big problems is, you know, and we tried talking to a couple people who are more familiar with the ownership, is nobody has a great sense of who's running the team. There's these other names that we're not even familiar with. Like, we like to say learners, but there's...
I thought Mark was kind of the front of it.
I think he's the front of it.
Yeah.
But there are other people who are involved. Like, I don't know if they were... brother-in-law or whatever it is.
There were other people, the chief financial officer and all the others included. I know. The names you didn't even know of.
Exactly.
Let's go to Gary in Upper Marlboro. Gary, what's up?
Good morning, Junks.
Hey, Gary.
Thanks for taking my call. I think that with the firing of Rizzo, the fire of Davey, I think that this franchise is doing a complete reset. And I think that trading Gore is probably the best thing because, again, I don't think he's going to stay. I agree. I don't think he's going to be here in a couple years. And you might as well try to get something for him now. I think that if they trade Cook, I think that's where needs to be a groundswell of support.
You mean Wood?
You mean James Wood?
Wood. I'm sorry, Wood. Yeah. They need to get. There needs to be a groundswell of support in the league, like it was sort of with Snyder. To move on from the learners, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think that the one thing that I think that they have on their side from a fan standpoint, which kind of distinguishes them a little bit from Snyder, is that there's a recent World Series, a fairly recent World Series.
And he doesn't have the toxic workplace and sexual harassment and all those things.
Exactly. But I'm seeing them becoming like, you remember when the Florida Marlins won the World Series several years ago? And then that franchise just tanked after that. I mean, they were irrelevant for decades after that. That's sort of what I'm kind of sniffing here, potentially with the Nationals. If the learners,
pretty depressing, but yeah, it's hard to argue with that so far. Pretty depressing. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah.
Hey, bank local, cheer local, and business every day is game day. Business is always moving up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank, proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. Coming up at 8:25, got our colleague check-in. We'll check in with Grant Paulson. He was out at Commanders training camp yesterday. I saw our pal Awad tweeting. He's at Commanders training camp today.
Mm-hmm. I think he was out yesterday, too.
Are they starting at 8 today?
Yes, 8 a.m. practice.
They are? Yep. So, and the fans are let in at 8? We should have Adam call in.
I think the fans are already
probably earlier.
Yeah. What were we going to say, Adam?
I've already talked to Adam. He's at Dan Quinn's presser right now. I just asked him a question.
Is he going to call after? Yeah. You should have him call.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
I thought it was funny, though. He tweeted, he goes, back here for another day of Commanders training camp. Already a huge line of fans here. And then he didn't take a picture of the fans.
Mm-hmm. Look, he's not the brightest bulb.
Right?
Yeah. He's a fun
Shouldn't
kid.
Shouldn't the picture of the fan line accompany Maybe. The hey, caption?
Whatever.
Yeah.
Morning. Adam Epstein, 910 The Fan. Given the news yesterday with Terry in the building, is this the wide receiver room that you envision as a championship caliber wide receiver room?
Yeah, Adam, welcome, man. Honestly, man, we just want to really hit to our standards. We do like this room a lot. But as far as, you know, where we're headed, we just kind of put it into small spaces and we're putting guys in different spots and what they can do. It's been good to see in this already, you know, 4-day blocks, like Lane has jumped out to me, you know, okay, you're finding out certain routes by certain players really matter.
So if you had a beer with Dan Quinn at his ball or home in Hawaii, of course he would say, well, we want the wide receiver room to have Terry McLaurin in it.
Yeah.
Like, we love to see Jalen Lane make, you know, highlight reel catches, and we want McCaffrey to take his steps, and we want Debo to assimilate. But I mean, if he's given truth serum, he's going to say, well, let's get the Terry thing done and let's get him in camp.
I think he was including it. Good question from Adam. Yeah. Good question.
He said now that Terry's in the building, is this the...
Yeah.
I thought that was a good question by Adam. So I think so. Maybe we can connect with him a little bit later. So, Cakes, you said you saw Happy Gilmore too.
I did. Yes.
What'd you think?
I liked it. I laughed a lot. My wife, we watched it together. We watched it with our youngest son as well. He found it funny, even though he hadn't watched the original Happy Gilmore. He went back and watched the OG yesterday.
Believe it
Man,
or not.
Man, your son is a movie guy.
My son's a movie guy. Believe he likes movies.
I don't think I saw the original Happy Gilmore. Can you just tell me what the basic premise is?
The basic premise is Adam Sandler is Happy Gilmore, who his dream is to play hockey for the Boston Bruins.
Okay.
His hockey career flames out. I can't exactly remember why. Maybe he got injured. I don't know. Right. He had a volcanic temper.
Yeah.
So his hockey career flames out and he becomes a pro golfer with the wacky wind up and hits the ball a mile. I'm sure I'm leaving some big plot.
Love
holes.
Story with he Julie
to,
Bowen.
I think part of it is love story with her, and he has to make money to keep his grandmother's house from getting foreclosed on. I think that's the kind of the gist of the original.
But what's his background in golf?
None. He has zero background.
He's a terrible golfer.
So he just pivots from playing hockey.
No, he could always hit the puck extremely hard, and it just transitioned into golf. He discovered that he has this skill and ability that no one in the world has.
Really? So he in the movie he's like an elite golfer.
He wins gold jackets.
That's it. Everything else falls apart.
And Chubbs teaches him how to the finer points of golf.
Yeah. Who's Chubbs?
Chubbs played by Carl Weathers. Yes. May he rest in peace. He was Apollo Creed.
Older tour pro.
Who had his hand bitten off by an alligator at some point. He had a fake right
there. Is there a Chubbs in this one?
No,
but
they make references. They do a few flashbacks.
Okay.
They have a son.
His son is in the movie. I found it very funny. Now, it gets a little absurd toward the end when they're battling with the competing golf tour. It's very Liv-esque. Uh-huh. But I laughed a lot. And look, you just keep your expectations low. You're not going to see The Departed or Gone with the Wind or Braveheart. Like, mm-hmm. it's Happy Gilmore,
too. You're literally like, there just to laugh.
It's a it's a slapstick.
How many laughs are
If you like Adam
there?
Sandler slapstick comedies and a bunch of cameos by famous people, John Daly, by the way, I thought was really good.
Uh-huh. He's in the movie a lot.
Yeah, how many of the current players are in it?
A lot of them. Like Xander Schauffele, Ricky Fowler, Sheffy.
I saw Paige Spearnick was in it.
Brooks Koepka. I mean, just...
They're all in it.
Yeah, they're all... And Olsers, Jack Nicklaus is in it. Freddie Couples is in it. I mean, Jim Furyk is in it. I mean, there's a million cameos.
So how often do you laugh? Like, you
laugh a lot.
Every 5 minutes you're laughing?
Maybe even more than that. Really? It's a lot of laughs.
It's slapstick type humor.
And though, I did like the fact that he has five kids, okay, in Happy Gilmore 2. And his sons make me laugh.
Because they're just morons.
They're just morons like him that they just have... crazy tempers. They're always fighting with each other, kind of like him when he was young. And to me, they kind of stole the movie.
Yeah, a lot of stupid phallic humor, a lot of mooning.
Funny. I'm sorry, they're funny.
If mooning makes you laugh, EB.
Well, I mean,
my daughter sent me a text yesterday. She goes, Happy Gilmore 2 is so stupid.
Yes, yeah, it is.
Now it's stupid.
Now, but she's not a golfer. She didn't see the first one.
If you embrace Adam Sandler, and let's be honest, most really of his movies are stupid. It's right in the wheelhouse.
You just want a stupid movie to see.
I give it 4.25 cake batters.
Oh, wow.
I enjoyed it. That's I thought it was strong. Fun.
I'd give it a similar review. Now, Valdez, he's got it like Gone with the Wind.
I enjoyed it.
I saw a tweet.
I gave it a 6 out of 5.
Oh, wow.
It's my second favorite movie of all time.
You know what's interesting about this, Valdez? You hate the new show on Apple TV Plus, Stick, right?
Yes.
And one of your things was, you were like, the golf is not realistic. This golf is absurd. I mean, EB, you would probably hate this because mm-hmm. you usually are a stickler for things in sports. So the first time Adam Sandler, or I shouldn't say the first time, but one of the times he goes up to the tee, in I think this was in competition. So he gets mm-hmm. in, you know, tournament. He's back on the PGA Tour. He hits a shot. He gets his rage. His whole thing is he's got to get angry to hit the ball far. And it hits the flag and then drops down right into the cup.
Of course, it's absurd. You don't take the movie seriously, ever.
Like, I know, but he gets up, he was upset that it's kind of bad in Apple TV Plus.
Right. But it's different. The two things are entirely different.
I heard that it was a mediocre review. So like some people loved it and then some people not so much. What's the criticism of it?
Some people are upset with the setup, which I don't want to give away. Mm-hmm. And from what I've read, yeah, I mean, I think some people...
Or is that also just because Adam Sandler movies often just get panned?
Yeah, but I looked on Rotten Tomatoes. It got pretty good reviews. So what's your number one, by the way? That's your second favorite movie of all time?
Yeah, Top Gun Maverick.
Top Gun Maverick's one?
He's got really new movies.
He does.
Is that why you're laughing at him?
I mean, it's
one of the best movies. Better than the original.
You think Top Gun Maverick is better than the original Top Gun?
Yes.
Okay. That's an interesting take.
I don't know.
It's opinion. I liked it. I liked Happy Gilmore too. My wife thought it was stupid. I can totally see that. It's like Jason's daughter. Like, you just gotta accept it.
Yeah,
you gotta accept it. Like a lot of stuff is over the top. If you like slapstick and stupid humor, you'll laugh.
I mean, do you think it's not funny when Boban, who was the son of Richard Keel in the original, is running around naked on the course with his butt pixeled out? I thought that was kind of funny.
It's a lot of butt humor.
A lot of butt humor.
A lot of phallic humor, too.
It's a lot of dumb sophomore humor.
Yes.
Okay. Drab T-shirt, did you watch or no?
Yeah, of course. Watch it Friday night. It's one of the worst movies I've seen. I mean, I don't know how to say it. I love Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Actually, I liked half the movie. The third act, the maxi golf stuff, is some of the worst movie-making in legit history.
I thought that
the
was
script,
bad.
Script, awful. Acting, horrible. The villain was the worst villain I've ever seen in a movie.
Who's the villain?
I almost said a bad word. You had a perfect villain. Shooter McGavin.
Yeah.
Who everyone loves and who's still famous to this day from a movie 30 years ago, and they did absolutely nothing with him. And they made some joke of an actor in this maxi golf thing, which is supposed to be a spoof on Liv or whatever. It was enraging. The first half of the movie was actually really good.
Yeah,
I mean, probably too many cameos, too much bad acting. But from the cameos, but some of them were really good. It had a good redemption thing going with the alcoholism, yeah. And then it just went literally off the rails into the dumbest movie I've ever seen.
There were so many cameos.
Yeah.
And some of them, I was like, who's that? Yeah, like, okay, that's Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny was funny.
Bad Bunny was awesome.
Bad Bunny made me laugh.
Yeah, he was
pretty
great.
Good, I thought.
Travis Kelce.
Whatever. I mean, yeah. Kelce Plum was in the movie.
Yeah,
Kelce Plum was in the second. So Christopher McDonald played
Shooter McGavin.
Yeah.
Well,
who's the other guy you were talking about? What was his character's
name? I don't even know who that actor was.
I don't even know him. Yeah. I've never seen him before.
And the whole joke there was that was like fart humor. You know what? That's what Valdez loves. Yeah. Fart humor and bad breath.
He had bad breath.
Yes, I know.
It wasn't even funny fart humor. Everyone likes fart humor. It was just so stupid.
I think you just got to accept it's stupid. I don't think anybody can say it's not stupid. It's stupid.
It's clear.
Of course,
stupid.
We accept it. We all love Happy Gilmore, the first one.
Yeah.
This was just beyond dumb and disappointing. And you could fart out a better script in 2 minutes.
Man, Travis,
so you couldn't have a more polar opposite view than Vice.
I was really digging the movie for about an hour. And then it just turned into utter ass.
Second best movie of all time and the worst movie he's ever seen.
Yin and yang. Let's behind see. What's behind in between the glass. There?
I actually think the second one is better than the first one.
Okay. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. Haven't seen the first one in 30 years.
I laughed the entire movie. It was the perfect movie for me. And the thing is, I actually had expectations for it. And a lot of people, they go into it, they said, oh, this sequel's going to suck.
Yeah.
I actually had high expectations for it because I liked the first one so much. I thought Scotty Scheffler stole the movie.
It exceeded your expectations.
Oh, really? Scotty was really good?
Scotty might have been the best part of the movie.
Really?
Better than John Daly?
John was great as well. I put John.
I thought Fowler Schauffele, that little dumb
dude. Do you think part of the
good.
Reason why it was one of your favorite movies is because you are such a golf guy?
No, because just, like, really I don't like seeing all those cameos. I don't like Stick.
You don't like, what is Stick?
Stick's a TV show about golf.
Yeah,
right, but this is with all the golf cameos.
There's a billion golf cameos in Stick.
Okay. Just ask it a question.
Well, I know you're trying to pigeonhole me as someone that loves golf, so therefore I have to love the movie. I'm countering what you're pigeonholing.
Well, no, I wasn't trying to pigeonhole you.
No, I'm just countering what you're saying.
I'm just saying maybe because you just love golf so much, like me, that it would just be more. It might be more interesting to me than everybody else.
And I'm explaining why that's not the case.
Mm-hmm. All right, fair enough. I love golf. I have zero interest to see it.
Why was Chef so good? Everyone calls him boring.
I can't give a. It's a spoiler.
Oh, okay.
They actually are pretty prominent, though. Scheffler, Koepka, Rory, to an extent. Like, they end up
Bryson
being pretty prominent.
Bryson's in it.
Yeah. There's a million guys. And like Cake says, they sit down, instead of the green jacket, it's gold jacket. Happy Gilmore has five or six gold jackets.
Yeah, he's got five, I believe.
Before he
five
retired.
Or six, yeah.
So they have a gold jacket dinner, and there's, like you said, Lee Trevino, yeah. Jack Nicklaus, and well, they're all sitting around
sorry
there.
If you mentioned it, but how do you win the gold jacket? Like, what is the tournament that you win?
I don't know, like the tour championship. Yeah, they make up a name
it's
of
imaginary.
It.
Imaginary.
Like they're like on a tour.
Yes, it's like a golf tour.
Yeah, I don't know if I can handle it.
Yeah, it's not your thing.
Yeah.
If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Be right back.